is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Economists who've been afraid of a possible recession got some encouraging news this morning in regard to prices.
Americans last month were paying 2.8% more for just about everything than they were in February of 2024. After days of heavy losses, a CPI report showing a decelerating rate of inflation pushed the stock market higher. But a dig into the numbers finds egg prices nearly 60% higher than a year ago.
ABC's Jim Ryan, those numbers do not reflect the tariffs on steel and aluminum that went into effect at midnight. Canada expected to announce today $21 billion in retaliatory tariffs. The European Union has also announced retaliatory tariffs on many U.S. manufactured goods of 25%. The latest cuts to the federal government are coming at the Department of Education. Overnight, more than 1,300 Department of Education workers were told they're being laid off. Ukraine agreeing to a 30-day ceasefire with Russia. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX. La Crosse mayoral candidates Shondell Washington Spivey and Chris Kalo both received endorsements this week. Washington Spivey was endorsed by former Mayor John Mettinger, while Kalo was endorsed by two-time candidate Vicky Markison, who narrowly lost to current Mayor Mitch Reynolds 4 years ago and also narrowly missed the spring election ballot by coming in third in last month's primary. The two candidates will debate tonight at 6 p.m. at UW La Crosse's Cleary Alumni and Friends Center. The La Crosse City Council will meet tomorrow. Today, the Housing Authority will review its Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher. The City Administrator Workgroup will also meet. Tomorrow's long City Council agenda includes resolutions on dozens of property and utility bids and agreements, rezoning requests, and the Police Department's annual report. The City Council will also consider approval for several road construction projects and consider approving $250,000 for the airport's Minimum Revenue Guarantee Fund. This week is the girls' basketball state tournament in Green Bay. Western Wisconsin will be represented by Durand, Arkansas in Division 4 and Elk Mound in Division 3. On Thursday, boys' basketball sectionals begin after regional championships were won on Saturday. Onalaska will face West Salem in Division 2, while Aquinas will play Luther in Division 4. In D5, top-seeded Cochran Fountain City will take on Columbus Catholic. The boys' state championships will be held next week at the Kohl Center in Madison. Over one-third of Wisconsin driver's licenses have still not been updated to Real ID, with the deadline under 2 months away. A Real ID is required to fly domestically or to enter federal buildings as of May 6th, although people can still use another form of ID, such as a passport, to fly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation says about 37% of driver's licenses in the state have not yet been updated. A full list of documents needed for the update and more information is available on the Wisconsin DMV website. Today through Friday afternoon will be pleasant, with highs topping out near 60 today and rising to the 70s by Friday. Then, rain moves in Friday night into Saturday, with a chance of thunderstorms and even some snow showers by the end of the weekend. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Baseball, the Brewers with a 9-7 win over the Cubs out in Arizona. Home runs by Jake Bowers, Vinny Capra, Reese Hoskins. Right-hander Brandon Woodruff pitched against a Padres minor league team, gave up 3 runs in 3 innings in his first appearance since having shoulder surgery 17 months ago.
The changeup's got a long way to go, but all the other stuff is pretty much right where I want it.
NFL defensive back Eric Stokes is leaving the Packers, the former first-round pick signing a one-year deal with the Raiders worth $4 million. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 115-114 in Indy. Giannis missing a game-winning shot at the buzzer. And the Bucks mourning the loss of former player and part owner Junior Bridgman, who died after suffering a heart attack at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville.
I mean, when you think about it, he is the exact model that the league should use every day when they're talking to our young players. So, tough day. Just really a tough day.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs of the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already, people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already, farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio will be along to talk about the Protecting Justice for All conference, which will air on Civic Media, along with Trevi Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Eagle 1490 AM.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, my friend? Where are you at today?
This is our office. I rode my bike from Bayview to Washington Heights area, Elite Street.
Okay. Let me ask you, Education Department to cut half its staff. Now, I don't know. I got to reach out to Ted, your brother, and we got to get him on to hear his thoughts. But in the absence of that, Education Department to cut half his staff as Trump vows to shut down agency. The U.S. Education Department said on Tuesday it would lay off nearly half its staff, a precursor to closing altogether as government agencies scrambled to meet President Donald Trump's deadline to submit plans for a second round of mass layoffs. Determinations are part of the department's final mission, it said in a press release alluding to Trump's vows to eliminate the department, which oversees $1.6 trillion in college loans, enforces civil rights laws in schools, and provides federal funding for needy districts. Dr. Craig, tell me why shutting down the Department of Education makes sense.
Ooh, that's a really tough question, Earl. I guess you have to like change the frame entirely and saying the point is to break things and to show we can do it and get away with it. Because, I mean, even conservatives, business leaders think education is critical. You don't have to be someone who thinks that education makes a well-rounded citizen and people who are better able not only to pursue their dreams, but to also be good citizens, right? Which I think is the case. But even beyond that, corporate leaders are desperate for well-trained, capable workers and not just trained in one thing, able to learn new things because technology and work styles are constantly changing. And conservatives like to complain about education being broken in some way and therefore needing to be fixed, right? So, and there doesn't seem to be based on any plan. Like, we want to achieve these outcomes instead of these outcomes, and therefore we want to change the Department of Education in this way. Instead, it's sending a bunch of 19 to 25-year-olds who think they're playing some sort of video game, right, of world-making and becoming Elon Musk one day just to fire people willy-nilly, it appears. I mean, my goodness, when they went to NIH, they fired the people who were working on Ebola, for example, and who wants to let Ebola spread? even if you don't care about the people in Africa right. who are directly in the line of fire for that horrible disease. And so you're right. If you it in terms of K through 12 education, not only does it provide a lot of resources to all districts as a special focus, since it was created in 1970 in the Carter administration, to really equalize things and try to help districts that are underfunded and under-resourced and tends to be lower income and marginalized communities, right? And rural communities.
Right.
And so it really is because you know how it is in Wisconsin, it's true everywhere else, it's true in Illinois. Your how much money you have for your schools depends on the value of your property. And of course, wealthier people and upper middle class people have moved out to suburbs so they can have better schools for their kids and then not necessarily participate in the education of all kids. The education department tries to equalize that. And then for student lending, and it used to be a lot more Pell Grants, but it's become a student loan based system, which is problematic. But my goodness, that is a huge, complicated system. And there are always issues with students not getting the debt forgiveness they're supposed to get for doing, for example, social service jobs that are valued to the community, or going into underserved areas if you're a doctor and go into a rural area or an underserved urban area, and also and all the payment plans and whether they're being applied appropriately. So things just aren't going to work. But since it's there, seems to be their view that government doesn't do anything. It's just corrupt. It's just a deep state. Let's throw it out. Then they'll turn around and say, see, it's not working. So we should get rid of, we should drown the baby in the bathwater, to quote one of their theorists, Grover Norquist, on what their ultimate goal is.
So, Dr. Craig, I don't understand. Are they after the $1.6 trillion? To say that states will handle this themselves, how does the money then go? Who determines whether how much money goes to each state if it's not the educational education department? Who fills that bill now? I mean, do they just drop all of that? Have they thought that through?
Of course not, because they're not thinking about that, Earl. In other words, the idea they have some plan how this is going to work, dumping things on the states means having an excuse and blaming someone else if it doesn't go well, even though states do not have nearly the revenue base the federal government does.
Right.
You want to do things that have a huge repercussion for the future, pay off for a lifetime. Things like education should be more federally funded than they are now, not less, actually. But as far as student loans and student financial aid, the system just isn't going to work. I mean, look at the IRS. They say that they're firing IRS officials, and it's very clear. The research is clear. All that does is mean you collect less taxes. So there's some tax cheats get away with things, especially well-heeled tax cheats that, like Donald Trump. Remember, he doesn't pay many taxes, so that makes him smart. A quote. And so, they're claiming, giving lip service to why we have to take healthcare away from people, Medicaid, because of the deficit. But doesn't matter giving $4.5 trillion in tax cuts to millionaires and billionaires, and then it certainly doesn't matter when we're slashing the IRS and the consequences of damaging the already underfunded education system in this country that's fallen behind our major competitors. It's just destructive. It's hard to see this anything other than just wanton, let's break things because we don't like it.
You know, Dr. Craig, as I've been watching, you know, what is going on, and there's so many different things, I mean, you know, that really are alarming. But one of them is the Democrats are in a position, if they have courage, to not support and let Republicans off the hook with this budget battle, right? I mean, if they have the courage, they and none of us want to see people suffer. But should the Democrats do anything to support Republicans in this government shutdown fight? I mean, Democrats are worried that they're going to be held accountable. Why are they worried about those things, Dr. Craig? Why should they support anything that lets the Republicans off the hook? People are going to be hurt either way it goes long-term with Republican policies or short-term with government being shut down. I mean, I'm not advocating that, you know, you hurt people. But Dr. Craig, people are going to be hurt long-term by these policies of Republicans. What is your stand on this budget showdown?
Well, since we have an unconstitutional shredding of the laws and the Constitution of this country, because the Department of Education is authorized by Congress, the appropriations and funding in it and the personnel to carry out that mission has already been passed by Congress in law and signed by a president. There's a way to repeal it. It's not just sending DOJ's millions in to start firing people and start reaping havoc. So I think that you cannot cooperate, because this budget is going to keep the government funded. But of course, they're saying that it's discretionary upon Donald Trump and Elon Musk what they do and don't do, regardless of what is passed as a law. And so the House, at the first stage of the process, only one Democrat didn't vote. Cooperated. That was Congressman Golden from Maine, who's a real moderate. And one Republican who thought it wasn't enough voted no, and they're going to primary him. Donald Trump is making threats against him, of course, and Elon Musk is. But in the Senate, they're going to need 10 Democrats to go with them, or 7 Democrats. And it is to be determined. The Senate is a place with a fair number of these kind of moderate Democrats. I don't think they should frame it, and I think they've done a good job of this, as we want to shut the government down. I mean, the Democrats, you know, they are the party of making government work for people, right? But we can't authorize this kind of lawlessness. They've developed all of these proposals without any Democratic involvement, just on their own, right. And they can go pass them with their own votes. And they were able to do it in the House. Some people were surprised by that. But in the Senate, they have to have Democratic votes. So what should happen is, they negotiate with the Democrats in the Senate, safeguards are put in, and then it goes back to the House, and then the House Republicans have to decide whether they're shutting the government or not. Because if the Senate bill is different than the House bill, then the House will have to take up the Senate bill or not.
Is there enough time for all of that to transpire? You know, I'm looking at, Senate Democrats say the 6-month government funding resolution that passed the House Tuesday is horrible, but there's growing sentiment within the Senate Democratic Conference that it would be too risky to block the legislation and risk government shutdown that could drag on for weeks. Senate Democrats battled behind closed doors Tuesday over how to handle the House bill, with a number of Democrats, especially those in swing states, arguing a government shutdown must be avoided, even if it means reluctantly voting for a House GOP-drafted bill. Your thoughts, Dr. Craig, on that? 855-752-4842. Our phone line's open as always. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
We're squad about that one.
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
We're squad about that one.
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. You know, Dr. Craig, it is complex, the situation that the Democrats find themselves in. But, I don't see... several centers warn there's no clear end game for ending a government shutdown if Democrats defeat the House passed measure, which would increase defense spending by $6 billion, boost funding for border security, but yet cut non-defense programs by $13 billion. I don't see how you support that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the billion-dollar cut from the District of Columbia's budget, I mean...
Yes.
They already don't have the rights of other citizens, kind of a colonial possession of Congress. Now you're just going to, for $1 billion and for just part of a year? I mean, really? So they've already forced them to get rid of Black Lives Matter Plaza, right? I don't see how they could vote for it. It sounds like you had read something disturbing about how they're moving towards that they have to vote for it. But the Democratic position has been, because a lot of Democratic rank and file people and progressives generally are pushing them to do more, and they're saying, but we don't have a majority, we don't have any leverage. Well, here comes the first leverage, right? And so you can't just say that, oh, but we can't look like we're closing the government. No, they're closing the government.
Yes.
Because they're acting unconstitutionally, and they, if they want to keep the government open, they should... and they need Democratic votes, then they need to find common ground with Democrats. And therefore, there need to be, now we won't get everything we want, but there needs to be some restraints on what is going on with DOGE and with the illegal cancellation of appropriated money and closure of agencies and mass firings that make it impossible to supervise and manage programs that are mandated by law.
You know, Dr. Craig, this thing just gets worse and worse and worse, and it stinks to high heaven. What is taking place in this nation? You've been at this a long time, Dr. Craig, and what they are doing is I mean, they're not hiding anything. They're doing it in broad daylight. And they've taken over the government. There has to be some fight, right? I mean, where does it come from, Dr. Craig? I was talking the other day about a rally that they had here in Racine. And, you know, people on the street with signs. And to me, you know, are we waiting on politicians? Can they turn this around, Dr. Craig, politically? You've already said that they're totally dismissing the way the government runs. They don't think the government has any value unless it's Republicans who are in government. And so, you know, how do you even begin to dismantle it? And it's only 7 weeks.
Well, right. This is a lot of energy here. I think a lot of it's for spectacle. In other words, it's enacting authoritarianism by showing we can do it, right? We have constant action. You can't stop us, and we're going to do. And in fact, it seems like meanness is baked into it. Like
right.
Cancellation of food aid and you know, infectious disease treatment for the poorest people in the world. This used to be something that what was a great credit to this country. Now it's like there's no empathy whatsoever, right? I mean, except for himself and Trump's and supposed grievances against him, right? And slights and abuses. And so part of it is that traditional political leadership has less of a role when this starts to happen. So I think that was implied in your question a bit. So this becomes a matter of social movements putting pressure on the system. But the kind of leadership we get from elected officials needs to change, right? This is not the old, I go to Congress and I play by the rules and I build up my seniority and I write bills and, you know, I do what I can. That is no longer sufficient. And there's been umbrage reported several times, different media sources, within some of the Democratic leadership in Congress that they're being asked to do all these things. Well, this is the new assignment, right? Maybe you preferred some more docile age of normal business and go along and get along, but that is not the age we're living in right now. And you've got to do something to challenge what you're seeing here, right? Which is a destruction of what is left of the social safety net and of American civil society.
You know, Dr. Craig, Al Green and what Al Green did, it's what we need to see. We don't need to see Democrats saying we're going to censor him. He shouldn't have done that. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for those to just get along, Dr. Craig, are we?
Well, we're going to stand on some notion of decorum. What kind of decorum is going to take place with DOGE, right? Like there was a smaller aid agency that aids Africa that was not part of USAID. And the Doge children arrived with their backpacks to go and destroy it. And they were turned away by the staff. And so they came back with private security and busted their way in the next day and then went and did what they were going to do. And so, this is decorum, right? Is there decorum with Donald Trump's and J.D. Vance's treatment of a war hero, Vladimir Zelensky, or this various tariff stuff? I'm going to have a 50% tariff on Canada. No, 25%.
Yeah.
And the stock market goes up and down like a gyroscope.
855-752-4842. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, will come to you guys, I promise you.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX. Rebecca Cook announced her campaign for Congress in Chippewa County yesterday. Cook, who has run for the 3rd Congressional District seat twice, is seeking to unseat Republican Derek Van Orden. Cook says she plans on building on the momentum of her past campaigns.
I think we'll certainly be a lot more aggressive. I think that we've got to hold this administration's worst instincts accountable, and Derek Van Orden has proven that he's really lockstep with what this administration is attempting to do.
Cook says she won't be shy about hearing from constituents in the 3rd District.
As a public servant, you're elected to be by the people and for the people, right? And so you need to be accountable to the people. And so I intend to host town halls pretty frequently throughout the campaign and create opportunities for people on both sides of the aisle to be able to interact with me and have a dialogue on issues that they care about the most.
Cook, a Democrat, is the first person to announce their candidacy to challenge Van Orden. Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berg is also considering a run for Congress. UW-Madison is among the dozens of universities being targeted by the Trump administration over its handling of protests about the war in Gaza and other issues. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
The Department of Education, now led by Linda McMahon, sent letters to 60 universities across the country, accusing them of violating Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. Title VI requires that any organization receiving federal funds bans discrimination based on race, color, or national origin. Trump and his surrogates have said they would crack down on what they call anti-Semitism on campus, saying the schools failed to protect Jewish students and faculty. Last year, UW-Madison students camped out as a protest against the war in Gaza, and that movement ended when police broke up the demonstration. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
The Trump administration has already begun canceling federal funding for several universities. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Duchess of Sussex, also known as Meghan Markle, has taken a lot of verbal and tabloid abuse for her show, I Really Wish I Was Martha Stewart, a.k.a. With Love, Meghan. Critics don't like it, and according to Rotten Tomatoes, only 20% of audiences like it. Having said that, the show has been renewed for season 2, and according to the New York Post, the crew absolutely loves her and said she treats everyone wonderfully. Why wouldn't she? She's a duchess with a horrible hit TV show. I can't think of anyone luckier. Mr. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Colin Jost, was roasted on Saturday Night Live during Weekend Update by Lady Gaga's fictional husband, Lord Gaga, played by Mikey Day, who went on and on about how horrible it must be to live with a woman who makes so much more money than her husband. According to the Post, Colin Jost muscles through life with a net worth of just $10 million, and his wife Scarlett Johansson is worth $165 million. Somehow, they managed to make it work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are watching a late week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave.
That prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care.
Prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll talk to State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe, as well as a legislator from the State Assembly, to get our state capitol update on what's happening in the legislature.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Another region in Mississippi called the Delta. And we live between two rivers,
One was the Yazoo, and the other was the Tallahatchie. It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action is on board. Dr. Craig, before we go to the phone lines, Capital Agenda, Johnson put Senate Dems in the corner. This is in today's Political. House Republicans passed their stopgap funding bill Tuesday evening, which means Senate Democrats can now no longer delay the long-dreaded decision. Do they give up a chance to stand up to Donald Trump or let the government shut down in 3 days?
I think they let the Republicans shut the government down in 3 days. They had, this is just literally extortion. They had no role in developing this bill.
Right.
The only leverage to get controls on unconstitutional shredding of the powers of the congressional branch of government, the first article of the Constitution. And I'm reading some of the back and forth over the break. I mean, a number of senators are saying that and members of Congress, but the question is, there this mushy middle? But there's going to be hell to pay from the grassroots, that's clear. And so, and there's a lot of criticism of Chuck Schumer and support. Some are happy that he's left it to the caucus to debate out. Others think that the leader should have a strategy, shouldn't just be sitting there as a neutral party. And how do you get to a consensus in this short amount of time? But this was a predictable thing. If they're just starting to debate it now, and I don't know what the internal workings of the Senate Democratic Caucus are, then that was a huge mistake. You could not just assume that the Republican House members couldn't pass a budget. At this point, Donald Trump is at the top of his powers. His honeymoon is still fully in effect, maybe not as far as the public, but as far as elected Republicans are willing to bend to his wishes.
All right, let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Morning. Well, I think that all this dodgy stuff and this stuff that they're doing, outrageous, break-ins and, I mean, the last time somebody broke in, it was a guy by the name of
Watergate.
Nixon, and he resigned.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, and more seriously, what this is all about is they're trying to do a couple of things. They're trying to take the reserve that is kept for Social Security. They want to throw it into the Wall Street casino. They want to do the same thing with any built-up funds that are in Medicare, and they want to keep everybody from thinking about this. They want to keep them thinking about everything else, maybe even try and figure out a way to cut those programs and simply keep people from figuring this out. They're trying to find $4 trillion to give away to themselves and their billionaire buddy. That's what this is really all about. Anything else, that's all distraction. My opinion, for what it's worth.
Thank you very much, Jack. Dr. Craig?
Yeah, I think Jack is right about keeping an eye on the ball. I mean, the way I imagine this, if you imagine a small 19th century town when the circus comes to town and there's all the circus elephants and the clowns and the painted ladies and everything else, that actually that's the best time to rob the bank. So try to pay attention to what matters, but Trump constantly has new magic tricks, new unbelievable things you've never seen before to put before you so the people are going on. Because it really is a matter of spectacle and then this testosterone-driven, I'm a man, I can do what I want, I don't have to listen to anyone. So it does have to be stood up to. And but we'll see if the Senate, this is the problem President Biden had, having the Democrats are not a unified party in many ways, and they can be mostly unified. Remember, we were really only 1-2 votes short of getting a lot more done in the Biden administration, but you need those 1-2 votes.
Right, right.
In case, are there the 7 Democratic votes to go and go with the Republicans? There, we already know Fetterman is going to do that, and he's a strange actor. You never know.
I'm really disappointed in Fetterman, man. He is a strange bird. He got in, you know, by the skin of his teeth, and he's certainly shown himself to be untrustworthy.
So I guess we're going to know by Friday, maybe earlier. At this point, there really isn't a public whip count, as they call it. But it's going back and forth. I'm reading media coverage that they may not have the votes to do it anyway. But there's a real back and forth here, and you have to watch independent kind of players. You need to look at Angus King. You need to look at Warner from Virginia. Some of those kind of actors. I mean, others that you'd expect have been outspoken. There's no chance Chris Murphy's voting for this. There's no chance Raphael Warnock's voting for this. Right. I've not heard, maybe you have, Earl, anything from Tammy Baldwin.
I have not heard anything from her. And you know, it's really critically important that we hear from them now. Let's go back to the phone lines. Eric from Tulsa is up next. Hey, Eric, you say what, sir?
Morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr.
Good morning.
Speaking of what they've been saying, you know, the world's richest man baby recently called Senator Mark Kelly a traitor over his trip, you know, to Ukraine, who I last checked was still our ally. So I don't see how that's traitorous, but it's really time for our elected Democratic representatives to throw themselves on the gears of the machine. A few of them are doing it, and I applaud them, but they got to filibuster this CR and force the Republicans to negotiate. Senators have already been calling for a short-term spending bill. So in the end, this is going to be totally on the GOP, which is why they're out there pre-blaming the Democrats.
Right.
And for the looming tax cut, I think it's actually a bit of a distraction. It's horrible, of course, but really like false choice voucher schools stealing millions of dollars from our public education system creates smaller and smaller budget requirements. Isn't what DOGE is doing just setting things up for the massive budget cuts they're going to make on October 1st? And like public education, isn't the end goal really to privatize everything? And lastly, on a local politics thing, I was at a GOP rally last weekend and saw Brittany Kinzer yard signs alongside Brad Schimmel's, and Moms for Liberty, Turning Point Action, and the John Birch Society were tabling there. So could you, Dr. Craig, speak to the statewide elections coming up and what Wisconsinites can do to get the word out before the April 1st election?
Well, I would say to you, Eric, to make sure
you're
tuned in, because I have Brittany Kinzer on what date is it? On Monday. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Sure, I'll respond to the spring election. I agree with what the caller said about the national situation. We have an absolutely critically important race. Our organization, Citizen Action Wisconsin, which has members across the state, is both doing deep canvas phone banking, where we have real conversations, and knocking on doors on weekends. And we'd love people to get involved. You can find us at Citizen Action's website, or look at our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram feeds. But it's going to be an extremely and most expensive extremely close in one of the most expensive Supreme Court, the most expensive Supreme Court election in America.
It already is.
The last one has $5 million in counting that we can count from Elon Musk. In talking, I've done our phone bank 2 weeks now. We started last week, and no, 3 weeks actually. And I think that Crawford is doing pretty well. So I'm not saying she has it in the bag, but I'm saying there are a lot of people who know about that race and have decided to vote for Crawford. So I'm not worried that it's going to be a blowout for Schimmel, but I think that Schimmel has a base, obviously. I'm really worried about Department of Public Instruction race, Earl. People have not heard about Underly. I mean, most Crawford voters have not heard of Underly. And the Marquette poll has some pretty disturbing stuff about public education for Brittany Kinzer to play into. So of course, there was this needless division where Underly's bad communication caused a lot of dissent, and then it produced an opponent. And it's the fact that she had an opponent on the Democratic side that brought Brittany Kinzer to the race. Now that she's extremely well-funded, this is the best chance. Wisconsin Right to Life, I don't usually agree with them, but they're saying that this is the best chance ever for voucher supporters to capture Department of Public Instruction. And I have to agree with Wisconsin Right to Life on that. So people should get engaged and be very worried about that race. Obviously, we all know how important the Supreme Court race is.
All right, let's go to Brendan. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much. You say what?
I just want to make three points real quick. First, Trump just had the press kicked out of a CEO's meeting right when it's time for him to start answering some questions to these CEOs. Second, does anybody remember the Truth Social post that he made right as we were getting closer to the election, saying how great the market was doing because the big people with big money knew he was going to win? But now all you hear from the paid mouthpiece at the presser is, A, we're dealing with all these Biden problems. No, you're not. He tanked it. And then she has the audacity to tell a reporter, how dare you question my zero knowledge about tariffs in front of cameras, okay? And now we have the idiot in the White House filming car commercials in front of our White House. I'm disgusted. And Mr. Hess, I sure hope that, you know, your wonderful statements here come to fruition. But the problem's going to be for you, James Hess, is that every time you go to the people in the state for tax dollars for schools, all they do is scream and wiggle and cry. So I hope when your kids, your young kids there, get to public school, that everybody all of a sudden wants to pay more taxes so that your kids get a good public school, because the state should be in charge and we shouldn't give any federal funding to public schools.
Hey,
have a great day.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig will let you respond. Guys, hang on the phone lines. I promise you we'll get to all of you. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday's with the one and only Dr. Craig on the Earl Ingram Show.
We stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. And Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas, well, Billy Joe never had liquor since. Pass the biscuits, please. There's 5 more acres in the lower 40 I got to plant. And Mama said it was a shame about Billy Joe. Seems like nothing ever comes to no good
it up on Choctaw Ridge.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Donald Trump is out of control, stopping payments for health care and food for hungry kids, eliminating the Department of Education, and letting unelected billionaire Elon Musk fire anyone he wants and get access to your most private information. We need a Supreme Court justice who will keep them in check before they go too far. That's Judge Susan Crawford.
I'm Judge Susan Crawford. As a former prosecutor and now as a judge, I believe in protecting you, your family, and your right to privacy, and that women have the right to make their own decisions about their health care. Because to me, that's just common sense.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk are both backing Brad Schimmel. He'll do whatever they want. That's why we need Judge Susan Crawford. The common sense judge will keep them in check. Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Going round, Papa caught it any dad less.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, Texas, that same number. Let's hit these phone lines. Rita, you're up next. Thank you for the call. Rita from La Crosse.
Hi, Earl. Hello, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I want to say, quit calling them entitlements. We've paid for this our whole life, and it's time for us. Actually, they're an insurance policy, and they keep calling them entitlements.
I don't disagree with you. And, I know that my Social Security that I'm collecting is not an entitlement. So thank you very much for that information. Let's go to, I think we're up to Mark. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Hello, this is Mark.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Earl, really quick, a correction to yesterday, remark yesterday, and then I want to mention the Democrats. Anyway, the quick correction is yesterday you mentioned that on Monday you were at a Racine Coalition for Peace and Justice rally, but that wasn't RCPJ people were there, including me, but that was not sponsored by them. Just a quick correction.
Okay, I stand corrected. Go ahead, sir.
You mentioned Fetterman. I agree with your remarks. And there's a fellow, he died a few years ago, Sheldon Wolin. He spoke of it, what he called inverted totalitarianism, which in a nutshell equals rule by corporations. You know, they're, quote, people now, and money is speech and all that stuff. Anyway, he characterized the Democrats as an inauthentic opposition. And, you know, when you have actual some Democrats coming down on Al Green, for instance, and there's actually many instances, it's like, it's just nutty. It's just too often they're ineffective. Anyway, that's my remark.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for the correction. Tom, you're up next.
Yeah, Earl. You know what? The Democrats need to make this as easy as a layup. They need to say on media, on the news, on everywhere that they can, that, hey, you know what? You give us the majority in the Senate. You give us the majority in the House. And you give us a good majority in those two places. I'll guarantee you, we're a party that's for good government, that we won't shut it down. But right now, we're powerless. We have no power. We are a party right now that is in the wilderness, and the Republicans have the House, the Senate, the presidency, and the Supreme Court. That's it. And stop trying to get into all this word and stuff like that. We don't have power. We don't have power, therefore, we can't do anything. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Up next, Ali. Hey, Ali, you say what?
Well, first off, I think Trump and Elon Musk are drinking too much of their snake oil from the circus there. And I do believe that the Democrats should stand firm, make a plan of what they want out of the bill and what they would put in the bill, and put that in front of the Republicans. And then, like Mr. Craig said, if the government ends up shutting down, it's their fault. And I believe that a majority of people would rather see a week, 2-3 weeks shut down than the continuing chaos that we have right now.
Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to any of that?
Don't have power, so we don't maybe misunderstood it. We shouldn't therefore expect them to exercise it. There's a lot of forms of power that aren't having official office. I mean, Martin Luther King had no power, so to speak. Mahatma Gandhi had no power. Most of the major liberation movements to overturn authoritarian governments around the world have not had official power. So we need to exert what power we have, and there is some leverage. Like, they have to agree to keep the government open. They don't have to swallow things like are in this resolution, like the $1 billion cut to the District of Columbia, like the $20 billion away from IRS enforcement, like the massive increase in ICE and in defense spending that is also in this continuing resolution. So I agree with that. The other caller had a good point too, but I answered a previous caller, Earl, the last caller.
Yes, you mean, I think it was Tom, but I don't remember his.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, but no, anyway, go ahead, Dr. Craig. You know, Dr. Craig, after it's all said and done, it's trying times. We'll get through it. Will the Democratic Party learn from this?
If it's going to be a serious vehicle, one of the earliest callers mentioned Sheldon Wolin, a great political philosopher. If you understand political philosophy, read his books on them. But inverted totalitarianism, where there's a corporate control that's invisible, that's still going on. And that's something we need to understand. The visible part, as some of your callers have been saying, is all of the visible spectacle of Musk and of Trump, right? But there's still a lot of corporate hands and shaping behind this, which make them liberal, but the Democrats need to be a legitimate opposition party, and they're not currently unified to do it. Some of them are there, some of them aren't.
Hey, Dr. Craig, thank you as always. We'll talk soon. Up next, Jane, Matt, Ned, Greg, Bach. Thank you very much, Cardi. See you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Longtime Democratic Senator Jeanne Shaheen says she will not seek re-election next year, dealing a significant blow to her party trying to reclaim a Senate majority. Shaheen was the first person to serve as both governor and senator in the U.S., and she turns 78 next January. The latest inflation report comes out today. Prices cooling a little. Expectations were exceeded. Prices up another 2.8% compared to last year at this time. It's good news, but says ABC Chief Business Correspondent Rebecca Jarvis.
The report, though, makes a Fed rate cut much less likely when they meet next week because it puts inflation, which had been going up so rapidly, in a place that's more manageable. And the Federal Reserve in this environment is much less likely to cut, meaning those credit card and mortgages stay about where they are.
Retaliatory tariffs coming from Europe and Canada to their U.S. tariff on steel and aluminum. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Your